Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Thumb sucking. Almost all of us have done it. Well, it may have started as an innocent way to calm ourselves as an infant. Could sucking your thumb literally ruin your life and the others of those around you? Don't suck your thumb today on Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Cautionary Tales. Stories that are passed down or around. But are they always true? Do we really know their true meaning or intent? This is the podcast where we dive into cautionary tales, superstitions, mysteries, and more to discover the truth behind the tale. This is Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Welcome to the show. Don't forget to press that subscribe. It's me, Harper, and my co-host, my dad, Tony Bruschi. Dad, did you ever suck your thumb as a kid?
I did suck my thumb as a kid, and it was one of those things where I actually sucked my thumb for so long that by the time I was a teenager, you could put my two thumbs next to each other like this, and you could identify which thumb it was that I would suck. And I wasn't sucking my thumb till a teenager, but I had done it for so long as a child that you could see. It was like kind of, I don't want to say deformed, but it was like one was a little bit shorter than the other.
Did I ever suck my thumb?
Not to the level that I did. You did it like the ideal route or the ideal amount of time. If you were to say, you know, your child sucking a thumb, it wasn't like over the top. It wasn't where you were doing it for too long or anything like that. You just, you know, you kind of grew out of it. I did it with, I had a rabbit, a stuffed pet rabbit, not a real rabbit. Your eyes got really big, like a rabbit, because we have a rabbit that's alive. Yeah, yeah, it's a Flemish giant I held up to my head and sucked my thumb. Now I have this thing with the, it wasn't even so much sucking my thumb that I enjoyed. I had this rabbit toy or stuffed rabbit that I enjoyed sniffing the tag of. It was real silky in texture, and texture is a big thing to me. And for whatever reason, as a kid, I really enjoyed I would sniff in and out the tag. I liked how it felt against my nose, but the way that I would hold the rabbit up to get that tag by me involved my thumb near my mouth. And the only place to like put my thumb was like in my mouth. It felt awkward to like kind of have it off to the side of my face or something. So I was like sucking my thumb by default. I wouldn't suck my thumb without my rabbit. It just kind of like happened to be wrong place, wrong time. So I sucked my thumb for longer than I should have.
Why sniffing the tag of a rabbit?
It was a comforting thing. Sucking a thumb is a comforting thing for kids. I inadvertently had sucking my thumb as part of like a comforting thing, but it was really more so sniffing the tag of the rabbit. I don't know.
That is so odd.
Kids have different things that are like comforting to them.
Like, just imagine this kid sitting in the corner of a preschool, just like sniffing the butt of a rabbit.
Yeah, that was me. That's what I was doing. And I feel like I'm being judged quite a bit right now. for
I'm not judging you. It's just pretty hilarious.
You're not judging. You're just saying what it is. That's all.
Yeah.
You're just kind of going along with, yeah. It was a thing. A texture is a thing with me. I don't know. It was just one of those things. So yes, I did suck my thumb, I guess inadvertently, but I was never a kid that was just solely sucking my thumb. I was multitasking is what I was doing.
I bet you didn't even know what multitasking was.
I didn't.
At that age.
No, but I like to look back on it as I was more sophisticated than I really was. But so there you go. But that's my thing of what I did when I was little and sucking my thumb.
Is there really any danger to babies sucking their thumbs?
Yes and no. I mean, really, from there's a stage in life where it really is fine and it's not a big deal at all. It is a comforting behavior because kids, they'll have nooks, you know, the nooks or the little things that they'll put in their mouths to kind of suck on. From infancy, according to childrensdent.com, from infancy, children use sucking behaviors to calm themselves. In fact, plenty of parents rely on pacifiers. That's what I call a nook because it's a brand, and like I call Kleenex. Teething toys, other items designed for children really to suck in order to encourage emotional regulation of kids. And as you get older, you kind of develop a habit of finger sucking. Unfortunately, thumb sucking can have long-lasting negative side effects if it persists past about the age of 4, okay? So when you start getting into around 5 or 6 or 14 and you're still sucking your thumb, it's not really a good thing because you got teeth that are coming in. You have the social issues of it, of other kids, you know, going, that kid still sucks his thumb and we're big 5-year-olds now and we don't, last year we were okay, but not this, you know, you're 7, you're almost 8. So you know how that can be with kids.
Yeah. It's just like this one thing that this was at my old school.
Mm-hmm.
This kid just had this very, very often habit.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, going to his backpack.
Okay.
And he was like, okay, what are you doing? And then mm-hmm. one time, I just, like, I saw him, like, literally jab his finger up to his nose. And it was, like, really in there. It was, like...
So was he going to his backpack because he was paranoid and he felt like he needed to keep checking it for something, or was he going to his backpack to pick his nose?
I think it was that.
Okay, he was going to the backpack. Let me go over here in the corner where no one's really seeing me directly for the most part.
I think he like really wanted to touch his brain because he was because this is how far he was like, I could only see his other finger.
You were like in awe at how far he got his finger up his nose.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He was like already touching his brain. And then every so often I would hear this jailing sound every time I was near him.
It wasn't his brain. He didn't touch his brain. But but so that was kind of his excuse. I don't know if it was like a compulsive thing where you're paranoid, like, is that in my backpack? Is that in there? And you sometimes people do that, even though they've seen something and they know it's there, they have to check it again. It's like locking doors. It's making sure the stove is off. That's a compulsion. That's that's something that is a disorder type thing that can be broken. You know, either with medication, but more so probably with some sort of a cognitive. You're sitting here. You're going to work with someone on breaking that habit.
But no, it's just. It's just this kid going through his backpack, touching...
Finding a way to pick his nose, yeah.
Or touch his brain for some reason. Yeah.
Now, I understand that.
Let's talk about the possible negative sucking your thumb for too long.
Like the outcomes of what could really happen with it?
Yeah, like what is open bite?
Well, open bite is one of the more serious permanent side effects of some thucking. It's a dental problem, and this is what we kind of talked about earlier. Once you get over a certain age, your teeth are coming in, and this can cause something where it's a term that basically describes tooth misalignment that's very visible when the mouth is closed. Two of the most common types of this are caused by some thucking that are open bite and overbite. And I'll talk about overbite in a second. Open bite occurs when the top and bottom front teeth become directed outward. The misalignment means that the front teeth don't touch, even with a kid's mouth closed completely. Open bite can require orthodontic correction in the future, or may complicate other dental misalignments that are already going on. So it doesn't help. Overbite, I know it's another thing you wanted to know about. It's like the open bite, but overbite occurs when the teeth become directed outward in an overbite configuration. That misalignment, it's confined to the upper front teeth. That misalignment means that the top teeth cover the bottom teeth when your child's mouth is closed, rather than the top and the bottom teeth touching normally. Overbite can affect the shape of the face and the smile. Individuals with extreme overbites may need extensive orthodontic treatment to correct that issue. In some cases, patients with overbite need treatment with headgear and other alternative things beyond just braces, what they call an orthodontic appliance. And who wants something called an appliance on your head, you know?
What even is an appliance?
Well, it's more than a brace. It's where there's like physical things outside of your mouth that are helping to brace the thing inside of your mouth.
So basically like braces that are just on your cheeks.
Kind of. It's almost like a mask that you'd have to put on.
It's just much weirder.
Well, it would look weird, you know, and kids are going to call it weird because kids are kids, because it's not what a majority of kids have. That's when you lead into the other things too, where the social issues and things come into play, and kids picking on kids, and none of that's right, but you know, kids are going to be kids. You're not going to change that part of the world and society. That's just how life is. But the better thing to do than try and change the children picking on children, which is going to happen, and it's not right, and they need to be talked to about that. But the best thing to do is just get to the root of the problem to begin with, which is not necessarily kids picking on kids for what they're wearing or what they have to be going through, but stopping it from being a problem to begin with. And that's where the prevention of sucking your thumb and enforcing an end to it, a stop to it in some way, shape, or form, before it becomes a problem, is really the best answer. But if you're already in that boat, then you got to figure out other things.
Skin problems. What is that?
And that's when you don't really think about, you know, when it comes to thumb sucking. But children who suck their thumbs, you know, over the course of the years may experience uncomfortable or even serious skin problems on their preferred thumb. Yeah. So I guess I probably kind of had that going on. When exposed to moisture in the mouth, the skin can become vulnerable to other injuries. In some cases, the skin can crack, bleed, making the child's hands more vulnerable to infection. The thumb can even begin to look a little calloused. Additionally, the pressure and the moisture of the thumb sucking may warp the thumbnail, causing ingrowth or peeling. If a kid experiences major skin problems due to thumb sucking, you may need to discourage the behavior by bandaging the area, placing a facial finger glove over the finger. It's just like a little glove just for that finger, or otherwise protecting the thumb in some sort of way. They say avoiding aversion tactics like dipping the finger in an unpleasant tasting substance, since those strategies can cause high levels of frustration and I guess don't produce lasting results, according to a lot of experts. That's what my parents probably would have done back in the day. They didn't really do much. But I remember hearing other kids, you know, it's like, oh, they dipped it in, you know, like the sour apple spray that we spray for the dog not to smell or not to chew on things.
I bet it would be good to like dip your kid's thumb in lemon juice.
That wouldn't work. I mean, that there, it just said that that sort of therapy doesn't work, and that lemon juice smell is gonna, or scent is going to go away quick. For me, I would have loved it. I would have been like, "Ooh, I'm going to suck my thumb more because I love lemon."
I love lemon too.
But it's more so you have to work on a way of making them have an aversion to it. The flavor thing, apparently not super successful for a lot of people. Plus, other things that you could put on there that would be negative can affect the skin too. Like, you don't want to put like hot pepper sauce on your skin. That's going to burn your skin.
I bet it'd be nice. Like, I bet this will be created in the future. Like, a dog shocker, but for kids. Oh, God.
No, that will not happen in the future. That would not be a good thing to have. Where it's like, oh, sucking their thumb, press the button. No. That's not. Am I going to have to watch you when you become a parent someday? I'm going to be like, honey, what the hell is this that you have around your kids' necks? This looks like it's for a dog, like a dog vibrating thing that scares them from, you know, leaving the yard. Well, it also works for them sucking their thumb. Like, oh, God.
I'm never going to do that.
I know, but it was a funny, horrible thought. So. But there's certainly other things that come along with sucking a thumb that are not positive.
Speech impediment.
Yeah, a speech impediment is another thing that can happen with thucking. There we go. I almost had a speech impediment right there with thucking a thumb. I really wasn't trying to do that. I was just speaking that way. Thumb sucking affects the development of the teeth, jaw, the palate, all that. And it can also change how a person speaks because, you know, the way your teeth are placed in your mouth, the way your tongue sits, the way everything is placed, that's how you learn to speak and how you learn to get sounds out of your mouth. If you ever had to suddenly have dental surgery or something like that, or something with your mouth adjusted, you're going to have to relearn how to make certain sounds because the way you used to do it doesn't work anymore. Everybody speaks a little bit differently. Thumb sucking can cause lisping or other speech impediments, including the inability to pronounce hard consonants like D and T, because the way that the teeth have been realigned with the thumb sucking. That's where the corrective dental care, high quality speech therapy, even that doesn't always correct an impediment because the deformed sounds are partially caused by the shape of the teeth in relation to someone's tongue. So it'd be very difficult to overcome that. That's why sometimes you hear adults that sound a little different. Sometimes you may almost consider it, you know, that sounds kind of childish. They almost speak like someone does in my class, you know, that when you're a kid. That's to develop because of a speech impediment. In cases, not all the time, but in some cases, because of the impediment, where it may have stemmed back to thumb sucking and it never being corrected at the time it should have. And that's where it can lead into a lot of things. Because if you know you don't sound the way you want to sound, or other people are picking on you for the way you sound, you know, that's going to lead to things. That's going to lead to frustration, anger, isolation, feeling depressed, feeling like you don't fit in, and things like that.
Yeah, but it's just like one of those things like, okay, I have something wrong with me. Should they really be bullying me for it?
No, I mean, the answer is no. No one should ever be bullying anybody for it, but that's the world, and that's going to happen. We can put things into place and discourage it, and I think that's great that we do discourage that, but you're never going to fully escape bullies. They're going to be out there when you're an adult. They're out there when you're a kid. Finding ways of trying to deal with them effectively and finding ways of bettering yourself and fixing problems before they become big, big problems are what's going to lead to a much happier life than constantly battling someone else's poor choices and behavior. It's always good to stand up for yourself, and it's good to stand up for others who are being bullied. But avoiding getting into the situation to begin with is really what should be sought out. more than other things. So, but some of those social issues, you know, even before the thumb sucking becomes the real, you know, present threat and danger to the child's development, the habit can cause issues. Children who suck their thumbs in public, they get to be the target of ridicule from their peers. It's just, it will happen that way. Thumb sucking is a normal childhood habit. I think that's what we need to stress here, to a certain point, to a certain age. The older your kid gets, the more other people are going to judge them and on continuing that habit. It's not going to be normalized. It's A, not healthy. It's not going to be a good thing to just encourage it because that makes them feel good. And B, you're setting your kid up to be ridiculed if you choose to not try and help them through that. As a parent, that's where you need to stand up and say, hey, let's get you beyond this. Let's get you where you want to go.
What exactly is social issues?
That's the bullying. That's where the interaction with other people, that's what that means.
Okay.
So that's what we're talking about. In children with no permanent teeth, thumb sucking, usually pretty harmless. It really gets to be more into that real, you know, danger level and everything. Once the permanent teeth start coming in, because those are the ones that aren't gonna pop out. They're ones that are not going to, you know, be able to be as easily corrected. And it can also then have an issue when your permanent teeth do start coming in, because some of the thumb sucked teeth are this way and that way, and then it makes it difficult for teeth to come in. Yeah.
I remember one time that I had this like tooth like right behind the baby tooth, and I had to get that tooth pulled out so I could come in. It was like almost like fully developed.
Yeah.
The back tooth. Remember that?
Yeah. And I don't know if that was a result of thumb sucking or not, because I don't really recall there being a lot of discussion about you like overdoing thumb sucking or being an issue. I think it might have just been, you know, your teeth, individuals' teeth, kids' teeth can come in just wrong ways without thumb sucking being the culprit. Sometimes it's just nature. It's just how they come in. So it's not always always thumb sucking that is the issue.
How do you stop a child from sucking their thumb if they
like refuse?
If they refuse,
yeah,
seem to be,
yeah, kind of addicted to it.
Addicted.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and we were kind of talking about that earlier, and I found some information about that online. According to mom.com, I figured that'd be a good source for
mom.com.
Yeah, mom. It's not an advertisement. It's just a place I found some good information. But according to that, parents who are looking for stuff to do to make their children stop sucking their thumb. I'm not trying
sucking
to.
Sucking their thumb.
I think I sucked my thumb a little bit too long that I'm still having issues. A conversation is probably in order. According to the Mayo Clinic, involving your child in the process of kicking the habit may make them more likely to want to stop. However, on the flip side, if your child is using thumb sucking to get your attention, resulting in you snapping at them to stop every time you see them doing it, you may want to go the opposite route and ignore the behavior altogether. If your child tends to suck his thumb at times of distress, provide comfort or take note of the triggers and try to avoid them. So essentially, if you're seeing that when your child is stressed out or there's anxious or whatever it may be, and they're going to that, maybe as a parent, find a way to intervene and maybe give an extra hug, maybe, you know, go and talk to them about what's going on so they can learn ways essentially to deal with what they're trying to process in their mind other than just sucking their thumb. It's also one of those things where you're creating paths as a parent. Your brain is a bunch of neural pathways, okay? And as you get older and as you grow and as you learn things, you're charting new paths of where your mind goes on how to handle things. So while right now, if sucking the thumb for a child is an addiction, essentially, they can't stop doing it. It feels so good to them to do it. If you can teach them a way early on, if maybe they have an addictive type personality that's just genetic and they're going to be suffering from that for the rest of their life, where as they get older, they could get into other things far more dangerous than sucking your thumb. Having a pathway, having an example from a very young age of showing, here's alternative, a way to deal with a behavior that you don't like that is addictive. There are ways out of it, and not feeling that they're so, just enslaved to it. Like they have no choice, but they have to do this behavior. Cause some people just believe that they feel like, this is me. That's what you get. People can change, but they have to want to change. They have to know how to change. And this is a parenting lesson that really can be given to a child at a very young age, of showing how to break a behavior and how to break an addictive behavior that they may be able to use later on without even realizing they're using that skill of, I learned how to stop sucking my thumb by doing this. But, and it's not like, oh, a hug's going to, you know, fix an addiction to alcohol or something, but it's something where it shows them from a very young age that things that they feel that they can't overcome or can't live without can in fact be done. And you can in fact get there.
It's a lot like my sister.
And how is that?
Because she needs the change in like some way, like not being as rude as she is.
Well, we've certainly had issues with lying and stuff over the years. And that's one of those things where people need to learn how to change lying, if that's almost an addiction or almost something that they use as a defense mechanism, to not want to have to process negative emotions or feelings that make them feel icky or bad or whatnot. There are ways of doing that. And that's one of those things where the individual who is just doing that needs to believe, number one, that there's ways of changing that, and then needs to find the path to do that. And sometimes it's done with help. It's done with the help of people who care about them, loved ones, doctors, all sorts of things. When a toddler starts getting the hang of things, especially of how to, that they're getting positive reinforcement from not sucking their thumb, that is the most effective way to change a behavior. That's true with anything. It's true with animals. It's true with all sorts of things. Positive behavior will lead to better results than negative behavior, than shaming, than hitting, than anything, anything that, you do or people have done to try and get someone or an animal or something to not do something they don't want them to do. If you can find a way to essentially bribe them to do what you want them to do, in a positive way, that will benefit them, not just what you want, but will truly be the good, right thing for them. That's a way to condition a change in a behavior. I mean, right now we have two little piglets and we're trying to teach them that at night we want them to get into their house. And throughout the day, they're out there grazing and they're friendly and they're lovable and all that. But it's, when it gets dark, we shut the door and keep them in there, and they have ventilation and all that. So don't worry about that. But we do that so animals don't eat them because they're tiny. And it's for their own good, but rather than like, get in there and push them in there or pick them up. Pigs hate being picked up, and just pushing them in there or putting them in there or setting them in there. We're trying to do positive reinforcement of like, here's a treat. You like a treat, here's watermelon, and then you put it in their cage or in their house, and you keep saying the same thing over and over of like, get in your house or whatever it may be. And then eventually they just start learning to do that. And when they hear that, oh, positive, this is great, this is a good thing to do. And then they start doing it. Same thing can be done with teaching a child to break the sucking your thumb. Great job, not sucking your thumb today. Or I see, you're stressed out. You're not doing that right now. Good for you. There's all different ways, but it needs to be consistent, and it needs to be delivered from people that they care about and respect and trust. If it's coming from people that they don't care about or don't respect and don't trust, it renders it somewhat moot or unusable when you're going through that sort of thing. So there's another thing. I mean, if all else fails, Using a substance or guard can be appropriate for older children, but generally is not recommended for toddlers. This is a doctor saying this. Dr. Cooper Smith says, if your child is still sucking her thumb over the age of four, speak to the dentist and a pediatrician to see if it is time to employ a method beyond just the positive reinforcement. But always go there first. And really, negative should never be the answer, but a device or something may be required to really, you know, make it work. So I wanted to talk to you for a long time about all your sucking your thumb, because I see you doing it all the time. And we need to, I'm kidding, you don't at all. So
I don't really even suck my fingers.
No, you're very good at it.
That wraps up today's episode. Be sure to press that subscribe button wherever you download podcasts. And remember, if you don't ask the right questions, you might end up being part of a cautionary tale. For Cautionary Tales with Harper, I'm Harper Brewski. Thanks for listening.